the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me for season 5, can you believe it, is my longtime co-host and good friend, Kyle JCRB Krause.
One of those things is true. You decide which one. Actually, they're both true. Hi, Ian. What's up?
Well, for a minute there, I was kind of worried that this was going to be a very short season.
I just thought it was funny. Am I allowed to think things are funny, Ian? Come on.
You are. Whatever you want. Please don't leave the show. I don't know how to run this.
You can figure it out. You don't need me.
Did you have yourself some happy holidays?
They were pretty happy. Also, kind of busy. We've been off the air for a little while for several reasons, some of which we won't get into. But we are back now. It's 2019. It's time to kick the year off right with some Bumblecast goodness. How was your holiday, sir?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Very low key, very chill, which is exactly what I needed this year.
Yeah.
A lot of good friends, a lot of good food, and just taking it easy.
It's really all you can ask for is friends and food.
Exactly.
Mostly food.
And hopefully one doesn't become the other in either direction.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Address the elephant in the room first thing. We were going to wrap up last season with an interview with Sonic alumnus Aaliyah Baker, and that got delayed, so we were going to make it the season premiere, and that has to be delayed as well because of ongoing health concerns, which is unfortunate. We will be having her on the show as soon as things fall into place. If you wanted to ask a question and you missed out on the cutoff time, we're opening things up again. So if you want to ask a question, now is your chance again. So hit us up on Twitter at Bumblecast or at email at bumblecast@yahoo.com, and we'll put it in the show and we will grill her relentlessly and you will get information from it.
We'll grill her like a grilled cheese sandwich.
Exactly.
Which I guess means butter and a pan? We'll go with that.
I can think of worse ways to go, honestly.
Yeah, me too. Also, I want to make a quick announcement, Ian. I want to make a quick announcement because we released a commentary over on Patreon, patreon.com/bumblecast. Head on over there. We've got a commentary for the absolute glorious insanity that is the film Batman Ninja.
Still doing the commentaries. We're going to try to be better about that this year. That's our New Year's resolution. And what a way to start it off than with Batman Ninja.
So if you are not a patron, go head on over there. As little as $1 a month, you can get in there and grab that. We're also going to be throwing that up on Bandcamp eventually here. I'm still working on that, but you can also stream it and pick it up over there too. So we're working on it. But in the meantime, patreon.com/bumblecast. It's over there for you to enjoy and to watch along with us as things just, as the craziness just keeps ramping up and up and up and up and up.
I don't know which is more entertaining, the movie or your reactions to the movie.
Yeah, because I went in blind, so I had no real clue what was going on. I'd heard it was terrible, but you'll just have to watch and listen because it's something.
It's an experience.
It's really something. Yes.
All right. Before we move on to the main topic, we're going to go and do us a Bumble raffle.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to be entered in, you can either email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com or you can be a patron and you'll be automatically entered into every drawing. Kyle, who's this episode's winner?
This episode's winner is Overthinking Films.
Congratulations. We will be in contact to offer you your prize.
Ah, yes. I wonder what their films are about. I'm not familiar with their films. Maybe you should go check them out at Patreon. Because they're on Patreon.
Whatever they are, they overthink it.
Sure, probably, maybe. I don't know. We're overthinking today's topic. We've been overthinking this topic for months. So
we have, but it's the gift that keeps on giving.
It truly is, folks. It truly is. And I think that we should resolve to make this the last episode for a while where we mainly talk about Smash Ultimate, because we've been on this topic for a while. But it's such a good topic.
It is, and it's such a satisfying and fun experience.
It is. Truly is. It is a great game. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I am still playing it, and I have not put this many hours in a game in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It has been interesting, to say the least, to put this much time into a game.
Now, how are you on your spirit count? Have you caught them all?
I have not caught them all quite yet, but I am in the final area beyond the second area. There's the third area that I'm currently in that I've worked, I'd say, about two-thirds of the way through at this point.
Okay.
So I am nearly done with the World of Light, I think, unless something else happens.
In proper Sakurai style, the final boss is not a one and done type of thing. You're going to be at it for a while.
No, I had a feeling.
But I won't spoil it for you. I will say, though, that there is one segment that I've been waiting for Smash Brothers to do for a long time, and oh, it felt good. So you got a lot to look forward to.
I do have to say that despite it being the World of Light is a little grindy.
Yeah,
I would say that it's definitely grindy, but it's a weirdly satisfying grind. I don't know what it is. Like, most of the battles you can get through in just like less than a minute generally, mm-hmm. once you get a good combination of spirits going.
Or if you're like me and you get fed up with some of the fights, so you just put it on easy, grab Donkey Kong, get the metal face spirit so that you're large and metal, and you just hand clap everything to death. It makes the game go really fast.
Well, I've just been using the giant spirit and the hyper smash attacks. And I've just been using like Lucina and Inkling, and yeah, that's about it. Just those two.
And that once you finally unlock the double final smash off the tech tree.
Ah, yes. Yeah, that helps too. But it still takes a while to build up the smash meter, and half the time, like, they're long gone and dead before the smash meter is even a thing. So grinding through it like that is still pretty fun. So I bumped it up to normal. I started out on normal, and I got really, really, really frustrated with some of the earlier spirit battles.
So I knocked Dr. Riley, I'm looking at you.
So I knocked it down to easy, and then came back, and then went back to those. The Dr. Wily spirit battle specifically, I actually went back to after I got the giant secondary spirit and just beat those freaking 8 Mega Man into oblivion. So, yeah, that was fun. That was satisfying after trying and trying and trying to beat that, just going in there and being like, I am huge now, bonk.
I do wish I was able to beat the boss legitimately, because that was fun. That felt like an actual challenge, and that's got one of the best music tracks in the entire bloody game disc card thingy.
Which, the final boss, you mean?
No. The boss out of Metal Gear.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Zero Suit Samus on the Poison Ground.
Yes. I really do like how they adapt the roster to fit the spirits.
I think that's what takes away the feeling of the grind, is because each one is like, okay, what's the joke here? What am I missing? Or, ha ha ha, this is brilliant. Or, geez, Nintendo, that's dark.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Paz Ortega.
Yeah, there are some that are very like, whoa, Nintendo, you're, wow, this is a rather dark sense of humor for you. I didn't know you had this in you.
Spirity goodness over on the spirit board, because you can't get everything through World of Light.
Correct.
And I'm down to the last, I don't know, 100 or so spirits.
So you're powering through this more than I am.
I have devoted a great deal of time and frustration.
Yeah. The one thing I don't like about the spirit board, though, is the necessity to shoot a gun at the spirit after you already beat them. It's a little little superfluous and a little obnoxious. But
at least if you miss, it does remember how much of the shield you took away. So
yeah. But World of Light, you don't have to shoot them.
That's true.
So it seems like, well, why is this a thing in one mode but not the other? It doesn't make much sense to me.
I'm stuck on a couple spirits that are just too hard to beat, but they're like 15,000 gold in the store, so I guess I'm going to go have to play a lot online and bank, because I've tried so many variations, Kyle.
What are the spirits you're having trouble with? If you can remember off the top of your head.
The one that I know that I have the most trouble with right now and just cannot seem to do is the baby Bowser fight.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a lava floor, and it starts off with a tiny Bowser who's at level 9 difficulty, it feels like. It's a stamina battle, mind you. And then after you beat tiny Bowser, a very large Bowser spawns, a la the ending to Yoshi's Island. And he's so big and so fast and so aggressive that by the time you whittle down the little one, I can't do it. I've tried every permutation that has worked in the past, and it's just down to a matter of I don't have the skill for it.
I have beat that one, but I don't remember how I did it. Probably some combination.
Dark magic, clearly.
Probably some combination of giant and hyper smash attacks, or some sort of stamina bonus or something. Because I did that one a couple times. I do remember that one. But I did beat it eventually, but I cannot remember what I did to do it. I think I just got lucky, because it took me a couple tries.
I did manage to do the Queen Metroid, which was a stamina battle against a very aggressive K. Rool.
That
took a number of shots, and then I win, and the gun prompt comes up, and the shield only has like the smallest of sliver removed, and I was all out of bonus items. It's like, well, just going to take my shot, and Kyle, that laser beam skimmed the very, very edge of that open. But I got it.
Okay, good.
I got it. Now I don't have to do it again.
Good. Yeah, I think with the baby Bowser battle, I just went in with Giant and Hyper Smash, and so I was able to just use Smash attacks, just spam Smash attacks on baby Bowser, and just got rid of him real quick. And then was able to just devote the time to giant Bowser.
All right.
So that might help. If you can get rid of baby Bowser quick, the little Bowser, if you can get rid of him real quick, then it frees you up for going after the giant one. So that might help. That's the only thing I can think of for what I did, because my MO has basically been giant and smash attack power up and just spam smash attacks. And that's just what I've been doing the whole game. It really doesn't help it really does not help you get any better at Smash, but you know what?
No.
You know what? It's pretty sad. It's pretty satisfying to be like, ooh, boom, and just they go flying. They go flying at like 60%. That's pretty great. I like that.
Now, one thing that it probably won't happen, but it's on my wish list because we know we're getting DLC in the future.
Correct.
Kind of hoping that with one of those, we'll get a patch where we get just the smallest nuggets of info on the spirits themselves.
That I would agree with, yes.
Because, you know, the spirit will come up and I'm like, what are you? And it says, you know, it's from this game. And I'm like, never heard of it. What are you?
Some Japanese exclusive series that I'm not familiar with. Yeah, there's been quite a few of those where I'm like,
I mean, it doesn't need to be in depth. Just tell me what system it was on, when it came out, and like a sentence or two.
Yeah. Something, it doesn't even have to be as in-depth as the trophy descriptions were, but something a little extra to be like, oh, okay, that's where this character's from. Maybe they're just assuming, oh, you're going to have your phone right there anyway, so you can just look.
I suppose.
But I like it having it self-contained, you know, right there where you can just see it.
I'd also like the ability to at least zoom in on the art, because some of the stuff is very, very detailed, and you can't really see it, because it's got to fit on the screen.
Right.
And some of the older retro art, yeah, no, I can tell what's going on. That's fine. Thanks. It can stay right there. But, you know, some of the Xenoblade stuff, the amount of nuance to every... How many things are hanging off of Schultz's pants? You know? Zoom in. Let's appreciate the art here.
At least he has pants on.
This is true.
In most of his costumes. Not all of them, though. But yes, I would agree. To have like a little extra detail on those would be nice. Even if they're not supposed to be trophies. Look, which I don't know how I feel about the loss of trophies.
I understand it.
I guess, but I don't know. Spirits, it's kind of like stickers combined with trophies, which is cool.
It's a much better system than the stickers. I like the idea of the stickers, but it wasn't implemented well.
No, I would agree.
You have this, they tried to push this collector's mentality, but they're consumable. Yeah. So why would you ever want to consume the rare stuff? And I don't know, this time around, it feels like it's a lot easier to get everything. This might be the first Smash Brothers that I actually beat all the challenges. I'll have to use some hammers, but I'm really close to actually doing it legit.
Yeah, I've actually gone and gone through a lot of the challenges, too. And I was really surprised at that, because, like, the previous Smashes, I really didn't bother. And there's just something about it that hooks me. Like, after a while of playing Smash 4, the last game, I kind of got over it, because there really wasn't a whole heck of a lot of content for a single player.
Mm-hmm.
There just wasn't much to do, so, and I don't frequently have many people to play with, so I played it for quite a while, but eventually I just got kind of burnt out on it doing it by myself. But this, even though it's not nearly as, it doesn't have nearly as much depth as the as Subspace Emissary did, as far as story, which, I mean, Subspace Emissary story is still pretty silly. It's not particularly deep, but it had something. But
yeah,
this doesn't have a whole heck of a lot, but there's still something that keeps drawing me back to it. I think it's some of that collector's mentality. Some of it is just to see what they do with what they're going to do with spirits, just to see the silliness. And I don't know, there's just something about it that's more entertaining to me. It just keeps me more engaged, more engaging.
Another thing I love about it is the stylized classic modes,
mm-hmm.
which on the one hand are really freaking cool, especially if you're going through any of the Legend of Zelda cast. That surprise boss fight just was great. First time I ran into it, I was all smiles.
See, I haven't spent much time with classic mode. I've been too busy with spirit stuff, so
that's why I'm not going to spoil it.
I have done a couple of things. I've done a couple of runs through classic mode, and I like it. It's enjoyable, but I haven't gone too deep into it. So,
and the thing is that some of the characters have very unique aspects to their run, and others do not, and right. That bugs me, especially Samus. With the introduction of, you know, Dark Samus and Ridley, they could have done something special with that. And the fact that they have assist trophies that you can fight, and there is a Mother Brain assist trophy, I feel like they could have done something really neat with Samus's run. And instead, there's a theme, but you just fight, I think, like Master Hand at the end. And that's like, okay, little anticlimactic, sure.
Yeah. All the ones I've done just have Master Hand as a boss, I think.
And that's fine because, you know, not every character needs their own special, unique boss encounter. That sure. would be ridiculous. But at the same time, I feel like some of the characters who have the material that's already present in the game, it's already there. It could have been utilized a little more. Yes, I'm complaining about giving me more stuff, but it's like they promise everything and they deliver so much. And when that one or two little things that we think would be obvious isn't there, it bugs me because I am a needy, demanding little thing.
it really does just, they did a great job. This feels, I gotta be honest with you, Ian, I love this game, but it feels like the smallest step between a Smash sequel we've had terms of just the look of the game and the gameplay. I don't know. And I'm not criticizing it for that, because they did a really damn good job with the last game. But it just is kind of, it just seems like we're not getting the big steps that we used to. Like, the step between 64 and Melee was huge. The step between Melee and Brawl was also pretty big. There were some steps back as well, gameplay-wise there, but I think just in terms of the overall story and the scope of the game, it became a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And then the step between Brawl and Smash 4 was pretty huge, actually, I feel. So I don't know. It feels like, it's definitely not a regression. It just feels like a smaller step compared to the last game. This is like the ultimate version of Smash 4 more than the ultimate version of Smash ever. if that makes sense.
It does feel like it's a boiled down experience, which by and large I don't think is necessarily a bad thing.
Like, I don't think so either, no.
I miss some of the stuff. I miss the unique break the targets, board the platforms.
Mm-hmm.
I do miss the trophies. I do miss Smash Run out of the 3DS version. That was phenomenal.
Yeah, Smash Run's a lot of fun. I also miss a lot of the 3DS stages, like some of the ones that just didn't come over.
Yeah, but overall, what is there is so concise and well done.
Mm-hmm.
That all the other stuff just becomes extraneous. Like, I think to Smash 4 and all the variable attacks you can unlock for each fighter, and what an absolute slog it was trying to get them, because there were all these different mini games that you could try, but it could unlock gear, or it could unlock moves, or it could unlock this, or it could unlock that, and it was all random, and you would have to go back in, and you had to spend gold to get it, but you need to play gold to get this, blah, 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 blah.
See, it's I never really went and delved into that. I never could just get into that, so I didn't...
It honestly killed the fun for me. With this, there is a bit of a grind to get all the spirits, but it's right there. You know, spirit board, select your fighter, fight him. Did you win? Shoot the thing. Did you not win? Try again. Boom, done. World of Light. Explore the map a bit. Fight a guy. Move on to the next fight. Explore some more. It's very punchy. It goes straight to what you need.
Yeah.
And I like that. If they were to offer expansions upon it, like give us back Smash Run, or I don't know, what would be another game mode?
Home Run Test. The Home Run. Yeah, Home Run Derby. That's not even in this. So yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't imagine that would be too terribly hard to code if they want to throw that out as a free download. Because Nintendo's been really, really nice with all the crosser titles.
Yeah, and there's also, like, the bag is still in there. The Smash bag, whatever it's called, is still there. It's not like they don't have it. And I don't know. It just seems like a less of a step up. But I do find it a lot more engaging and engrossing than the previous game at the same time. So I don't really know if I'm like trying to be critical of it. I guess I kind of am, but at the same time I'm like, I don't want to be critical of it because I like it and it's fun and I'm having a good time. But at the same time, I'm still just like, this is more of an incremental thing, kind of. The game, it is much faster, I will say, and I do like that. I do like the what's the dodge mechanic in Smash 4, or is that new?
Which dodge mechanic?
The shield and dodging.
Oh, the perfect dodge? No, I think that's new to Ultimate.
Okay, I think so, yeah. Where you can shield and then roll around after...
Oh, no, that was back in Melee.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure? Okay, maybe actually,
technically, it was... No, it was the shield and roll around an opponent was from the original Smash.
Maybe I'm thinking of something that's that's new that I'm really enjoying, that I'm having a good time with. But I do
Melee added the sidestep where you could dodge but not roll around them.
Okay.
I think Brawl introduced the air dodge, and then with Ultimate they added the perfect shield, where if you drop your shield at just the right second, you get a perfect dodge and you're able to counterattack. And was air dodging introduced in this one? Point is, roll dodging's been around forever.
There's something in this that really just makes it more fluid and a lot more enjoyable. And I'm like using the shield button a lot more in this one than I ever have previously, which is probably a sign that I was a terrible player before and now I'm becoming slightly better.
Speaking of, who have you gravitated towards? You have your mains set.
I think I've already mentioned Lucina and Inkling. And Zero Suit Samus to a lesser extent, but because she was also my main back in, her and Lucina were my mains back in Smash 4. And I've just kind of stuck with them. I really like Inkling, even though she's horribly broken. Being able to bury somebody at a whim, basically, is, it seems a little broken.
And the thing is, Inkling has to get a bit of a running start for that to happen. Donkey Kong can do that, but I feel like it's harder to do with him. Although, I will say, I feel like they greatly buffed Donkey Kong this time around.
Yeah.
Because in every previous incarnation, I couldn't do diddly with him. And this time, I'm doing far better without even knowing what I'm doing. So, they did something to the big DK.
I know Marth technically is stronger because the tip of his sword is stronger compared to Lucina's. But I just find Lucina more fun to play because I don't have to worry about that. So, and there's also just the fact that I like Lucina as a character better than Marth. So,
it weirds me out that he's English voiced.
I noticed that. I'm like, what is wrong with this? Oh, okay. Yeah, why are you speaking English? Does Roy speak English? I haven't paid attention.
For some reason, that's not nearly as jarring. I guess because Roy didn't say a whole lot before. It was mostly, you know, your yas and your hoops and your huas.
Right.
But Marth is just, that throws me off.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. I think, is there only one character with an actual line in the World of Light cutscenes? I think it's just Fox. Isn't it?
No, it's Fox, Zelda, maybe Marth. It's been a while since I saw the opening cutscene.
Do they actually say anything?
Yes,
maybe they do.
Yeah, Fox says, you know, don't let a single one escape. I think Marth says, each one of us will have to take about 10. Zelda tells him to stop being such a little crybaby. And then everything goes bad.
Okay. I just remember Fox being like in charge, and I'm like, huh, that's pretty cool. I don't know if I really have too many more thoughts on this. Who are your mains?
I have fallen in love with Simon Belmont.
Simon is a lot of fun, yeah.
Just, if you can get it off, the Holy Water Crucifix Axe triple play can just ruin somebody's day. And if you time the whip right, you can tell when someone's blood pressure starts to rise. And then his uppercut and that leg sweep jump thingy, which can be disastrous if you don't use it right. But if you can catch somebody with it, oh, he's just absolutely devastating. He's a ton of fun to play as. I just wish he had a little more recovery, but that's the balance. You know, he's really strong up front. He's really strong at range. But once you launch him, that's it.
Yeah, I do like that you can also hold his whip out and swing it around. It's like, you know, that only happened in one game. in Castlevania 4, he did that. It was a completely pointless thing. It was just a show off. Because, Super Nintendo was new, and they had to be like, well, now it's here just to be like, hey, remember Castlevania 4? We do. Remember that, Castlevania nerds? Yeah, we do too. And it's like, well, it doesn't do anything. It's just funny. It's just cool to have that callback to a completely useless feature from an old game that the character was from. I really like that they do a really good job of representing Castlevania.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everywhere, like all over the game. It's freaking glorious. The music, there's just so many like remixes and stuff from other soundtracks. Like, they use a lot of Castlevania Judgment music in Smash, which is actually perfect. Say what you want about Castlevania Judgment as a game, its soundtrack is absolutely perfect for a fighting game because, well, Castlevania Judgment was a fighting game. So it makes perfect sense to use a bunch of that soundtrack for Smash. And, I mean, well, it's a great place to use it because obviously no one played Castlevania Judgment, I don't think. So you might as well get some traction out of that soundtrack you've worked on.
And, also, I'm happy to say my old standbys are still viable. I still go with Ike. Mm-hmm. I still use Day-to-Day, who seems extra trolly this time around. I don't know, that Gordo is just... I feel cheap, but it works.
Yeah.
Not fond of what they did to Bowser's down smash, but what are you going to do? And Game & Watch seems to still be about the same. He's a little different. I can't quite put my finger on it just yet, but they switched up his moves a little, but he's still all right. I can still do some damage with him.
I had a pretty good time in the early game, the early World of Light with Sheik. She seemed to work pretty well. Zelda, you know, I actually played mainly as Zelda in Melee, but I can't really get into her post-Melee. I don't know it is. She's slowed down a lot, I think.
I feel like I flow better with her in this, but Link, for the first time, I feel like I can't do diddly with him.
Mm-hmm.
The new bomb mechanic, I can't wrap my head around, and he just feels so light and weak compared to previous incarnations. It's a little upsetting.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, I want to play a Link, I kind of go to Young Link.
Yeah, I haven't had much experience with any of the Links, actually. So,
but Ganondorf, oh, buddy. He's, like, perfect now. I really liked what they did with him in Smash 4. I felt like he was viable. He was useless in Ultimate. He was a waste of coding. But
you mean in Brawl?
In Smash 4.
You mean in Brawl?
Yeah, yeah,
it was a waste, because you said in Ultimate.
Yeah, too many Smashes going around.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Brawl, he was useless. In Smash 4, he was viable. In this... he's a nightmare.
Another character I haven't had the chance to spend a whole heck of a lot of time with.
I don't know. My style seems to be the kind of rush in types where if you can get a few good hits in, that's all she wrote.
Yeah.
I just don't have the mentality for the more technical or fast characters because I can't land the hit. If I'm a dude whose entire body is the hitbox and will launch you at 70%, yeah, then I can do okay.
See, and I like the light and speedy ones. So Inkling, Lucina, Zero Suit Samus.
Yeah, Inkling I cannot get a handle on.
Inkling is great.
I've been on the receiving end of Inkling, but...
The only problem with Inkling is having to refill, but even then, that's a small price to pay for the damage she can do.
And before, I was never really fond of the Earthbound characters.
I still can't really get into them.
I feel like Lucas feels a lot better for me this time around.
Mm-hmm.
Ness is just a bottle of aggravation, and I hate whenever I play someone online because they are just annoying.
Yeah, people who know how to use Ness are...
Spammy, no talent, aggro, rage! Rage! I'm glad your series got canceled.
Oh, man. Oh, do not bring the Wrath of Starman.net down on this podcast, please, Ian. We don't need that.
All right. Is it finally time to put Smash Ultimate to bed? Retire it from the Bumblecast for a little bit?
Maybe, until they start releasing DLC.
Yeah, I know. Piranha Plant's going to come out and there'll be a whole episode about that.
We don't need a whole episode about Piranha Plant.
We'll see. We'll see.
We don't need a whole episode about Piranha Plant. Maybe if the rumored Dragon Quest character happens, we can do a whole episode on that. But Oh, that reminds me. and I think we talked about this somewhere previously, but I don't think it was on the show. The Final Fantasy representation is pathetic. And and I'm blaming Square.
It's got to be.
It absolutely has to be Square. There's no reason why Nintendo would not want a bunch of Final Fantasy spirits and music and levels all over this game. It's got to be Square being like keeping it real closely guarded.
I mean, like, there's a ton of Metal Gear references, and it was barely on Nintendo systems.
Right, yeah. It's like you can have Cloud, and you can have two or three tracks from Final Fantasy VII. Three music tracks. You can't have any remixes. You can't have anything from FF7. You can have one level, you can have Cloud, and that's it. That's all you get, Nintendo. And it's like, this does not make any sense. Because Cloud has, like, not even really representative of Nintendo.
Yeah.
Of Square's Nintendo output, definitely not. And it's like, what? Why? Where? You could have, like, a dozen Final Fantasy spirits. So if the rumored Dragon Quest character happens, I really hope it's not just the character and a stage, and that's it. And then there be no remixes of the music, but that's pretty likely, unfortunately. Like, for some reason, they don't remix Dragon Quest music officially. It's always the orchestral originals. They never do remixes of it, and I don't get it. I think it's just very closely guarded.
Well, I imagine that we'll probably get new spirits, because there was an event on the spirit board recently where you could get new spirits that were exclusive to the event.
Yeah, that's been happening, so, I think.
When DLC character comes out, I would imagine spirits will be used to promote it. So, we'll see.
I hope more than just, like, a couple spirits for Dragon Quest happen. There's, like, a slime spirit, and that's probably it. Like, no, we need more than that. Seriously. Anyway, so that, I think now we can put this one to bed, Ian.
Okay. Thank you all for enduring. And Nintendo, if you want us to talk more about it, for the love of God, sponsor us. Because we've shilled this for at least a year.
Longer than that. We talked about Smash 4 before this for quite a while. Quite a bit, too.
All right, let's get to the Q&A.
All right, let's do it. If you want to ask us questions, Q&A, bumblecast@yahoo.com. Send us an email, Twitter @bumblecast, down in the YouTube comments below the video, or via Patreon comments or messages. First priority Q&A question we have, and the only one for this episode, comes from Bushmitten. I was sorry to hear you're not allowed to use TV show characters like Sally and Nagus in the IDW series, but I was wondering, would it be possible for those characters to appear in a different comic that takes place in a separate continuity from the main IDW series?
Howdy, Bushmitten. Number one, I did not say that. And I don't know if it's a matter of I wasn't clear, because I do ramble on these episodes, or I know that there are some places online where folks do transcripts of our show to just, you know, throw out the Q&A, and they do a really bad job of it, and I can't police the internet. So, if you got your information secondhand, I'm sorry, but that's not what I said. What I said was Sega is not really keen on letting older incarnations of or spin-offs being used again. That's the trend. That's the experience I've had when I was working on Archie Sonic for years. So I would say that it would be a hard sell to get such characters approved, regardless of what they came from. I mean, I would think I would have just as much a hard time bringing in a Sonic X character as I would a Sonic Underground character. But it's not entirely impossible. So don't hold your breath waiting for these characters to show up. I will do what I can where I can. It's just, that's how it is. It's not that they are forever barred, cannot use, locked in a vault. It's just they're not likely, unless that changes. That's the other aspect of it, is you never know when policy is going to change.
And it's not under your control.
Well, no.
I think we need to make that expressly clear.
The other aspect of it, doing a, let's say, a Sat AM book, number one would need Sega's approval regardless, because as far as I know, they own the property and they would have to want that property out there. Number two, I honestly don't think there is enough of an audience to justify a Sad AM book, an Adventures of book, an Underground book, a Sonic X book, again, any of those. I know that the Sad AM fan base is passionate. I know there are lots of them, but I don't think there is a large enough audience to sustain a licensed book like that, to convince the licensor to take the gamble, to convince the publisher to devote the time and the energy and the money to getting it going. Now, I know that's going to rankle some folks, and I would be happy to be proved wrong. If you can prove that you've got like 10 to 20,000 of you out there willing to throw your dollary dues at this, by all means, organize. You know, do the petitions, show off that you exist and that you are a hungry market, that you want this. I don't think it exists, but, you know, I don't know everything. So if there is that large of a readership, potential readership, by all means, present yourselves. Say, here we are. Give us a thing to buy, and maybe it'll happen.
All right. Well, with that, let's break into the standard Q&A. Next one comes from Axis the Tiger. What are your initial thoughts on Sonic's design for the live-action movie?
Why?
Yeah, pretty much.
I actually wrote an article about it for The Escapist.
Yeah, I read that.
And yeah, you're one of the very few people who did, but lots commented on it.
Yeah, I know.
But I look at it this way. As I said in the article, this will be somebody's first Sonic.
I'm sorry.
Somebody's going to see this movie. They're going to see roided out, hyper-realistic, missing the point Sonic, and they're going to like it. They're going to find it charming. They're going to think this is the right way to go with it, and they're going to defend it to the death. And you know what? If they enjoy it, I'm happy for them.
Sure.
I've been in this franchise, knee-deep in this franchise, for like 12 years. I'm getting to be an old man in my 30s. The franchise is not going to always cater to me. It's got to develop. It's got to change. And
Sonic maybe will take off. I think what some of the fan base tends to forget is Sonic is technically a character for children.
Yeah.
Through all things considered, he has adult appeal, but he is ostensibly supposed to be a character for children.
I think what flies in the face of it so much is the Pokemon movie, Detective Pikachu.
I would, yes, absolutely.
I mean, folks are kind of creeped out by the realistic Mr. Mime, but let's be fair, Mr. Mime was always creepy.
Exactly.
You know, they're kind of creeped out by Fluffy Jigglypuff, but I find vaguely cat-like Fluffy Jigglypuff far more endearing than if it was just like a rubber balloon creature.
Mm-hmm.
But everything looks like a Pokemon. It's, you know, realistically textured. It's adjusted a bit so that it can function as a three-dimensional animal in a three-dimensional world. But the movie just screams, this is the franchise and we are embracing it. We're not excusing it. We're not trying to water it down so that it is acceptable to the masses. This is Pokemon. This is their world and we love it. Whereas the two teasers we've had for Sonic are, nobody understands what Sonic is. Let's make him into something more realistic. But you can't do that. He is a cartoon by design.
Exactly.
He is all curves. He's noodle limbs. The minute that you try to drag musculature onto that frame, you've lost the idea of what he is.
Right.
But I don't make these decisions. I'm still going to see it in theaters because I am a diehard fan and I have no self-control. But
and we'll have a podcast, so we got to have something to talk about.
So there we go.
But yeah, I am not a particularly big fan of the design.
It's maybe it'll turn into a Mario movie cult classic, something that gets it so wrong that it kind of becomes its own thing.
And I love the Super Mario Brothers movie. I mean, I'm that guy, okay? I'm that guy, Ian. Come on.
You and Night Train should have a show together and just talk about how much you enjoy that.
Do you eat? Do you eat, Ian?
I eat. What?
You don't remember that line? Never mind.
No. I saw it once as a child and walked out, and the world was a little less colorful. The sun wasn't quite as bright, and I realized that adults can make bad decisions.
What's funny is I saw it as a kid and I loved it, mostly because they played the Mario song at the beginning. but I was that kid. I didn't think it was bad. I didn't have a problem with it as a kid. I don't know.
It was wrong.
Okay, you're gonna be that guy, huh?
I am. You can
you cannot handle a different. You just can't handle a different interpretation of characters that you enjoy.
Sonic Boom was different. Okay, that was different. That was fun. The Mario Brothers movie is wrong. WRONG !5 Wrong. Yoshi wasn't even green.
Yeah, and Luigi didn't have a mustache, but I still love John Leguizamo, so
he did fine with the role. Bob Hoskins as Mario was fantastic. That was great. The rest of it was wrong.
I like the casting. I do. Yoshi's a little weird, but whatever. It's fine. It was Jurassic Park time. You had to make him look like Jurassic Park. It's fine. Jurassic Park was popular. What else was popular at the time? I don't know. What else? Whatever. Either way. Sonic movie. It's going to suck. Next question. Speaking of movies, James M. asks, Ian, let's talk Star Wars. From bottom to top,
okay.
From bottom to top, what are your favorite Star Wars films?
All right, number one is Empire Strikes Back. That's kind of the given for most folks. What about you, Kyle?
You know, as I've gotten older, I like Empire more, but as a kid, I like Jedi more. So
okay.
I kind of go either way on those. Jedi doesn't bother me as much as it does other people. So
Jedi gets longer and longer every time I watch it, but Jedi I put as number 2.
Okay.
A New Hope I put as number 3. Again, it gets kind of long in the tooth at some points. Parts of it have not aged well, but there's a charm to it.
Yeah.
And now we're getting to the sequels and prequels. I'm going to maybe put a number 4 tie between Attack of the Clones and The Last Jedi.
Wow. You put Attack of the Clones that high?
Well, here's the thing. The first time I saw Attack of the Clones, I didn't hate it.
I think Attack of the Clones is the only prequel movie worth anything, but it's still not great.
It's not good. It's not good at all.
No.
But I actually liked the Yoda fight.
I do too.
Some people don't, and I will admit the CG has not aged well, but I liked the Yoda fight. I liked the arena sequence.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the war bit. It has fun moments. I love Dex Jetsetter. He's a fantastic character. I wish there was.
Yeah. Yes.
He was the most living character in the entire bloody movie.
Uh-huh.
With The Last Jedi, as many problems as I had with it, and we covered that, I really like the new main cast, and I really liked the Rey, Kylo, Luke subplot throughout it all. I thought that was really neat. So there's those two. I guess The Force Awakens is number 5, because even though it was A New Hope 2.0, it was at least fun.
Sure.
A lot of the ideas got squandered for Last Jedi, but that's not its fault. It's just not very memorable because we kind of saw all of it before. But it had that nice, fresh Star Wars feel to it. There you go, 5. 6, I'll plug Phantom Menace because Darth Maul was cool.
Mm-hmm.
and last one is Revenge of the Sith, because I saw that once, and I only sat through it because I had paid money. It's irredeemably bad from start to finish. There's nothing good about that movie.
Wait, you mean Clone Wars?
No.
Episode 3 you're talking?
Yeah, Revenge of the Sith.
Okay. See, when I was talking earlier, I was talking Revenge of the Sith. I wasn't talking Clone Wars. Clone Wars, I'd put as very bottom. It's terrible. It's awful.
It's not great.
The romance is not. No, it's terrible.
No.
It's just bad.
It is.
It's just bad. But
I will take.
And are you sure the Yoda fight was in Episode 2 and not Episode 3?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'm conflating movies because they're all
pretty bad.
They're all bad.
I will put Attack of the Clones higher and will forgive the clumsy, I don't like sand, love attempt over Revenge of the Sith, where they took Anakin Skywalker. Okay, we know Darth Vader is a bully and a bit of a sadist because of the original trilogy. He's an enforcer. He's a brute.
Right.
And it kind of stretches credulity to say there's really good deep down inside of him. But if it was just him laying waste to the enemy and enjoying his job, that's one thing. That's almost forgivable. You can work or you can play some mental gymnastics. Revenge of the Sith has him walk in and murder children.
Good point.
No, that's it. There is no redemption from that. There's no good in him. And I do this every time. I remember that. It's like, no, wait. We already did this in Episode 2, where he murdered all the sand people. Yes, they kidnapped his mother, but he didn't need to go around and wipe out the entire village.
Maybe I'm just thinking, like, okay, the last hour of Attack of the Clones and the first hour ish of Revenge of the Sith are okay. Maybe I'm just thinking, oh, that's one movie.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Don't get me started on the prequels again. Just
either way, Episode 1 is, if you look at it as not a Star Wars movie, it's okay, kinda. Maybe. I like the pod racing thing, if only because it inspired Episode 1 Racer for the N64 and PC, which is a great game, like a really well-made racing game. But I think just in terms of a film, it's not great. And the other two prequels are... they're on the bottom of my list, regardless. Rogue One, I would slot in there. I'm not sure if I'd I'm not sure if I'd put it above A New Hope or below, but I would definitely say Empire and Jedi at the top of my list, and then either A New Hope or Rogue One below that.
I'm going to not put Rogue One on the list because it was a fine movie. I forgot it existed.
I understand that. It is a Star Wars story, so I guess technically not part of any of the trilogies.
I mean, that final sequence with Vader in the hallway, perhaps the greatest cinematic moment of all Star Wars dumb, but the movie itself, and the thing is, it's not bad.
No.
At all. It's fun. I enjoyed myself. It's just, oh yeah. That was a thing.
And I can understand it being forgettable. So I think that would probably make it number 4 for me then.
And I never even saw Han Solo, so
I never saw it. Yeah, I didn't see that either. Yeah, it's weird to think of a Star Wars movie coming out and just never going to see it. Who cares? I've heard it's fine, but All right, let's get into our next question from Hangouts with Harry. If you could, would you try and add dinosaurs or any other kind of prehistoric animals to Sonic IDW?
Harry.
Is this a knowing smile moment?
I have had dinosaur characters in my back pocket since the Archie days, but it's always a question of, would this add something to the universe, or is it just me geeking out about dinosaurs because I really like dinosaurs, so...
Why not both?
I haven't pitched them yet, but I do have ideas that I would like to use maybe someday down.
Okay. But
you got to find the right point. You got to find the right story. But ooh, yes, I would love to do some dinosaur.
Do it, Ian. Do it. This is your Kermit meets evil Kermit moment. Your Kermit meets evil hooded Kermit moment. It's time. It is time. Next question comes from Almiron R. My question is to know if you and the rest of the team like the idea to make more characters inspired by ones from the Archie series, like Starline.
Who said Starline was inspired by the Archie characters? I mean, there's people have drawn parallels, and I'm not going to. Those parallels are there. But, and, you know, I am probably lapsing back into some trope here or there since, you know, I've been doing this for 12 years. But, no, Starline was more inspired by a game element. And then that was revised and altered and things shifted to the point where it's not even recognizable. So Starline's kind of his own thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm reading something here where Evan Stanley says that Starline was meant as a spiritual successor to the old white echidna villains.
So, in a sense, yeah.
I'm wondering if that's where they're coming from. I mean, from it's not... question.
I feel like I'm picking at nits here. It's not like it was supposed to be, this is distinctly Finitivus or Zachary 2.0, because that doesn't really work in the narrative, that those characters work in their own stories. But I do like that type of character, and that you've got that little technological edge, but they're not full-on technophile like Eggman. And they've got that kind of suave manipulator angle to them.
Right.
So, yeah, okay. In that sense, they are inspired by what's come to pass. But it's not like I'm transplanting one into the other.
No. And with that in mind, I'm just kind of wondering, I don't know if they're kind of asking if you're just going to make a direct, like, XP of previous characters. Is this someone maybe kind of inspired by previous characters, which...
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there will be characters down the line, folks can say, oh, this is clearly Ian doing such and such, and maybe you'll be right, maybe I'm doing it consciously, but I feel like trying to just redo a character is not really doing service to that character. Right. IDW Sonic is its own thing, so anything we create for it, even if it is inspired by other elements, has to fit IDW Sonic.
Sure. We're also at a point, though, in popular culture where if you create a character, there's almost certainly going to be one that's very similar to it, because there's just...
Oh, sure. I'm sure there's a Whovian out there.
There's just so many characters.
There's a Whovian out there who's saying, oh, Dr. Starling is clearly based off of this villain from season one. Who? And I'll be like, hey, you made a good case. I've never seen Dr. So...
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yep. So definitely some stuff like that where you can just look at other characters and see like, oh, there's a lot of parallels between that character and this other character I came up with. And that's weird.
See, actually, Starline was meant to debut with two other characters and they were all built around a similar. And if they had all come out at the same time, I think folks would have gone, oh, I see where the inspiration is from. But things were revised because... season two plans were more, we need to just push some stuff to the back burner now and focus on it. So that's why we only have Starline now. Maybe we'll get to it down the line.
Alrighty. And the last question comes from DaBig RG. Were you satisfied with the lineup of the Eggy Six from Sonic Forces?
Insofar as here's a nod to the various antagonistic forces from across modern Sonic, sure. I wish they had been used more. I mean, Chaos is going down to a single spin dash from Classic Sonic hurts. Zavok being the only real boss fight kind of stings.
Yeah.
The giant Metal Sonic was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
It does the question of where was Metal Sonic all this time. I don't know. It was a neat idea, at least.
Sure. I still haven't played Sonic Forces. Which is a shame because it's kind of cheap now. Maybe I'll pick it up, but
oh, absolutely,
someday,
it's fun.
Someday, eventually. I know. I don't think it's a bad game. It gets like so much more. I think it's more maligned than it deserves to be.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it does not look bad. I've seen bad Sonic games. It doesn't look like a bad Sonic game. It looks like you can play it.
Yeah,
And it's not buggy as all get out.
No. I mean, there's some places where if you go to the scripted path, things kind of go.
I think it just had. But, yeah, I think it kind of had the unfortunate timing of coming out after Sonic Mania.
Yeah.
That did not do it any favors. And
I mean, it's not to the same caliber as Unleashed or Colors or Generations, sure.
Well, no. Yeah.
It's also not the same type of game.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Cashing in on being able to make your own character is still absolutely a brilliant decision on Sega's part, because
yeah,
that is part of the Sonic fandom, whether you like it or not. Making up your own character is part of the fun of being a Sonic fan, I think. All right, that'll do it for this episode's Q&A and this episode of the Bumblecast.
Where can folks find you after the show, Kyle?
You can find me in bed. Actually, you can find me on my other show.
Whoa. Okay. Easy there, Tiger.
I'm going to be asleep, Ian, because I'm going to bed. I'm going to sleep.
Yeah.
I'm going to... Come on. Anyway, you can find me on my other show, Nitro Game Injection, which a peek behind the curtain here. Actually, we're recording on the same day as I'm doing that, so I'm going to be doing that today, so...
Finding you in bed, peeking behind your curtains. Come on, Kyle. This is a family show.
Well, you're the one going there. I didn't.
You're the one offering.
I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. You didn't have to bring it up. Anyway, Nitro Game Injection, my other show, which is all about video game music and video game music remixes and all the other awesome stuff that we like. If you like the remixes of classic video game music that you heard in Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, then you'll probably like Nitro Game Injection. So check it out live every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time over at my site, kngi.org, where you can also find archived episodes of the Bumblecast and many other shows. And also don't forget to follow me on Twitter at KyleJCRB. Ian, where can the people find you if it's not in bed?
All the chaste and clean-minded individuals out there. The rest of you can find me at bumbleking.com, which has my portfolio, my release schedule, news, and all that happy jazz. Or you can follow me on Twitter at IanFlynnBKC. Caveat there, I did say that this year I'm going to try to lay off Twitter a little bit. Last year was very, very stressful, and just trying to keep up with everything online is probably one of the bits of baggage I can toss overboard. So I'll still be around. But that Twitter handle is going to be mostly promotions, not really a lot of chatter.
Yeah, that's kind of what I do with mine, too. So, you know, if you hit me up and you message me, I might chat a little bit with you. We'll see. But I try not to get too deep involved in these things anymore. It's just not worth it sometimes, Ian. It's just not worth it.
It is not. But you know what is worth it? Finding us on our Twitch channel. That is
twitch.tv/BumblecastGaming.
Yeah, I couldn't find it on the list. Oh, well. Or if you're a patron, you can catch us every weekend live Bumblecast streaming just for patrons.
All right. Yes. And Sundays or whatever time during the week we can find it, we'll announce it. We'll let you know.
Working that out.
Also, you can follow the show for more announcements and stuff on Twitter at Bumblecast. You can also email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com. Both of those are also great places to send us Q&A questions.
You can adorn yourself with various versions of the Bumblecast logo at shop.spreadshirt.com/bumblestore.
All right, Ian, and do you want to hit us up with the list of our lovely and wonderful patrons who make this show possible?
Yes, thank you guys for sticking with us for so many seasons. And say thank you to all you patrons. And because of the episode, I'm going to do my best impression of the announcer from Smash Brothers. Daniel H. Eric F. Alex P. Bushmitten. Xanos. Dwizdizdin. Scruffy Bat. Chris A. John B. Sam Cybercat. Samuel P. Jennifer R. David C. Riven the Light. Lisa M. D Gamma F Wow, Mike B, Joshua S, Dragon Superfan, AE Double, Brody M, Neil H, Justin S, Justin G, Dan MS, Adam T, Silly String, Tukaro, Lee HK, Chauvel, Don B, Sinfritz, Taco Elgato Comics, John M, James K, Papa Drippadabos, Overthinking Films, Adam BT, and this game's winner is Ron.
Glorious. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. That was very good.
And thank you to all the patrons. We will see you in 2 weeks for the next episode of the Bumblecast. Have a good one, everybody.
We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org.
Okay, you're pegging the audio. It's perfect. You're not pegging it, but you're making it move, so we're good.
Well, pegging it would make it move, wouldn't it?
Oh, wow. Hot dang.
Anything you can say, I can make worse. Anything you can say, I can make bad.
That's fine. You think I'm bothered by this sort of thing? I don't care. You can say whatever you want.
You kind of exude this wholesome calmness about you.
I do?
You do.
What am I doing wrong? Why does everyone think that? Why does everyone think I'm so nice? And that if you said terrible things, I'd be like, gasp, my gosh, how?
Land of Goshen!
How awful. How could you say such naughty words? What do you think I am? Some kind of prude?
I know you're not, but it's fun.
Okay, that's fine.